The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests. Proven in all 50 states, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Are you ready? Let's go!
Showtime. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Ready.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
This is a sacred moment between a boy and his father.
Say what you're trying to say. What kind of weirdo are you?
Jeff Lutz.
And it's frustrating when you don't hear me, because I'm speaking very clearly with direct language.
I can feel the love.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
It's all happening.
It's all happening.
It's all happening.
And you're invited to partake of it.
Stand by for action.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome a Tuesday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. It's Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz co-hosting. Max Power is our producer and engineer. 869-1240. That is our IHOP hotline. We invite you to call. Just not so much during the first segment. That's when Jeff and I air it out and let each other know who's really the boss here.
Let each other know that?
Yeah, I'll let you know. You try to let me know.
Not really.
The audience understands that it's me. And
why are you worried about that? You bring that up nearly every day. Is there something going on in your personal life that's making you feel insignificant or...
Maybe not.
All right.
What'd you think of the Home Run Derby? I actually ended up watching it because my wife loves it, and so I ended up watching it, and I kind of enjoyed it. It's too long, so I didn't watch it wall to wall, but I watched the final couple of pairings and then
took a look at Jose Ramirez hitting 21 bombs and then... bowing out, but yeah, it's not really locked in. I was locked in on Monday Night Raw yet again.
Well, Bobby Wood Jr. was fantastic last night. He really elevated his brand, I thought.
Brand?
Yeah, he's got a brand. He's a superstar. You've never had one with the Guardians.
No more brand talk.
You've never had one with the Guardians.
What does that mean?
Well, you've never had a superstar.
Never?
No.
That's interesting.
Who was your last superstar?
Francisco Lindor, probably. Jose Ramirez.
Was he a superstar?
Yeah.
Huh.
He sure was.
I don't agree.
Why? He's probably going to be a Hall of Famer.
Francisco Lindor.
Yeah, very likely a Hall of Famer.
I don't know that you're on the right track with that.
I do. I don't know where he'd be coming up short for you. He hits 30 homers a year. He steals bases. He plays great defense. He's played on teams that have won more than they've lost.
He's now in his 10th season, still only 30. He has 1,420 career hits. Career OPS is good, 812. Career OPS plus is good, 118. Stolen bases, he's had a good run there, 174. Had 31 home runs in 2023. Yeah, he's probably in that realm. I don't think he's there yet.
But he on the path that he's currently on, he'll be.
He's never finished higher than fifth in an MVP voting. Those are things voters look at.
So the fifth best player in the league to you is not a superstar? Interesting. So there's no more than four superstars in baseball.
No, I'm saying that I don't regard Francisco Lindor as a superstar. I regard him as a star.
Well, he sure was when he was with Cleveland.
You know who's a superstar? Albert Pujols.
That's
a superstar.
Okay. So, again, it sounds like
the
there's
Cardinals
two or three superstars at a time in baseball. That's basically what you're saying.
Superstar's tough. Was Adam Wainwright a superstar?
No.
Was Yadier Molina a superstar?
He's a high level star, potential Hall of Famer. I could see him working his way into superstar. If you're a Hall of Famer, you were probably a superstar at one point in your career.
Was Bill Mazeroski ever a superstar?
I don't know. I wasn't alive when he played.
Well, you just made a statement. And what
right.
I'm going to do when you make a statement is I'm going to pour water on it right out of the chute.
By choosing one example out of hundreds?
Bill Mazeroski had 2,016 career hits, batted 260, a lifetime OPS of 667, and a lifetime OPS plus of 84, which means he was 16% below average.
Okay.
How'd he get into the Hall of Fame? He had a big home run. That's how.
And his defense was pretty renowned.
Oh, please. He could move one step to his right and one to his left. Listen, I got nothing against
Bill
Mazeroski.
How did Ozzie Smith get into the Hall of Fame with an 87 OPS plus 13?
He's the greatest defensive player of all time.
So you're saying
now Mazeroski's not in that category.
So you're saying now you can get into the Hall of Fame based on
Mazeroski's not in that category. Nobody ever thought that Bill Mazeroski.
So only one player in the history of the game can get in the Hall of Fame based on their defense.
Well, Ozzie Smith also became a very good offensive player.
But he wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame with his offensive numbers.
No, it's because he was the greatest defensive player.
Okay, so answer the question.
In the history of the game,
you keep
playing the position that requires the most defense.
You're not answering any questions. I haven't
heard a question.
I asked you.
Here's what I'll point out to you.
See, this is what you do.
I've already won this argument.
You make these. You're not even addressing the argument.
No, I've already had it. I've already won it.
No, you haven't.
I've already put it in the win column.
You haven't answered the questions.
I've already started celebrating.
Well, you're the worst arguer in the history of the world.
Oh, Jeffrey.
Why do you think you can just trample people?
I don't trample
anyone. Yeah, you do. I know how you are.
I don't want to argue about Bill Mazeroski.
We're not arguing about Bill Mazeroski.
I'm already bored.
I asked you a question.
What was the question?
Is Ozzie Smith the only player who can be in the Hall of Fame based on his defense?
He's one of the few that is.
I'm asking you.
But he's one of the very few that is.
Okay, well, the other question I asked you was, are there only three or four superstars at any given time in baseball?
Currently in Major League Baseball, superstar is a high bar for me.
That's why I asked the question.
So I'll tell you who's superstars currently, if that's what you're interested in knowing. I mean, if you want me to get deep into the weeds on this.
I think you have a really bad definition of what you think a superstar is.
No, I don't have a bad definition of what I think a superstar is. I have a good definition of it.
No, you don't.
Here are the current hitting superstars Pitching, it's hard.
Why, if you have to look it up, are they superstars?
Well, I want to look at it. I want to make sure I'm not missing anybody. I would say Shohei Ohtani is a superstar. Aaron Judge is a superstar. Bryce Harper is a superstar. Mookie Betts is a superstar. Juan Soto is a superstar. Beyond them, it gets a little dicey. Jose Altuve, probably a superstar.
Still?
Sure.
Hmm.
But beyond those guys, Jose Altuve is still hitting 306. It gets tougher. Those are the people I regard as being superstars, right?
I guess.
That makes sense. Pitching-wise, the current superstars are few and far between. Gerrit Cole is about the only one that I would classify that. Maybe Corbin Burns and certainly
Paul Skeens.
Well, he's 10 starts in. Give me a break.
He's a superstar.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
No, you got to establish. You don't just get superstardom.
Is he starting the All-Star game after 10 starts?
Yeah, well, let's see what he does next year.
Please.
So, yeah, my superstar list would be pretty short.
Let's see what a guy throwing 104 does next year. He'll be throwing 104 next year.
No, there's guys like, look at Steven Strasburg.
So he got hurt.
Did he have a... I got to wait and see if a guy has longevity before I'm going to point him to be a superstar.
So, I thought it was what he does.
No, it's a combination of things.
Oh, interesting.
Francisco Lindor probably was a superstar 5 years ago. He's fallen off.
Not really.
Sure he has. Look at his numbers.
Numbers are the same as they've ever been.
No, they're not. You couldn't be more wrong. I mean, if you want to debate these things, you better come with many, many facts.
His OPS by year, 121, 106, 116, 132, 118, 104, 100, 125, 122, 124.
Yeah, that's fallen off.
He's been no, it's not.
Batting average.
Batting average.
Pretty, fell to 230 in 2021.
That's 3 years ago.
270, 254, and 253. He's not the hitter he used to be with the Guardians.
Nobody is.
So
you've seen hitting go down.
You better answer the bell for me. If you want, he was above 800 in OPS in four of his first 5 years. Since then, he's been above 800 OPS, barely. In one of his
everybody's OPS has gone down because the offensive environment has gone down.
Not necessarily.
I don't know how these are things you
did
continue
you,
to not understand.
Did you watch the anthem singer last night?
I saw it.
Do you know this person?
Ingrid I may have heard
Andress?
Of her. I'm not sure.
You're not sure?
I don't know. She might be on my playlist.
I couldn't believe what I was hearing.
Well,
it was like, okay. Either this person is toying with us or she's hammered. And it turned out she was hammered.
Apparently so.
Why would you do that if you've been drinking all day?
Well, what's the alternative?
Not to drink all day. If you're going to sing the national anthem.
You said, why would you do that?
At the Home Run Derby in front of millions of viewers, a packed house, the greatest players in the game, and you go get hammered before you do it. She's checking into rehab, so she obviously has a problem. Just astounding to me. I couldn't believe it. It was awful.
Yeah, she didn't sound good.
Well, it didn't sound good.
I'm not going to be somebody who's going to pile on.
What do you mean, pile
someone,
on?
Someone who the next day... comes out and says, you know, I apologize. I'm trying to do something about this. I mean, it's not going to be, I don't know. It was bad, but seems like she's trying to better her life.
Listen, I'll give her the benefit of the doubt when I'm assured that she deserves it. Her comment to announce that she was going to rehab was a little flippant at the end. Rehab, I hear, is a lot of fun. Give me a break.
So
this isn't anything to joke about.
It's not?
No.
Everyone on the planet was joking about it last
night.
She
shouldn't joke about
Why?
It. Why? Because.
Why?
Because she looked bad.
So?
It was a bad look.
So
you just take the opposite.
So you're not allowed
you're
to.
You're the only person I've seen in any form of commentary, social media, response, who is coming to her side.
Yeah, because you know how hard it is to admit something like that the day after?
You have to admit.
No, you don't.
Something like that.
I'm going to rehab. That's something that she, I mean, that's extremely difficult.
You have to admit if you have to admit you were drunk.
No, you don't.
And if you were drunk doing that, you better get to rehab because that's not a time to be drunk.
I guess.
That's indicative of a drinking problem, right?
Right, which she admitted, which few do.
Okay, go get your help, but don't expect me to sit here today saying, well, that poor girl, give me a break.
No compassion.
She's not drunk when she goes in the studio and records her albums.
How do you know?
What is it with you?
What are you talking about?
Why are you like this?
How do you know that?
Why are you the one voice of...
I'm not. Look on Twitter. There's plenty of people that are saying, man, I was wrong about her. I take back the joke.
There's nothing to be wrong about. There's nothing to be wrong about. I commend her if she's going to go get help. Seriously, if that's what she's doing, it's very easy to get on social media and say the right thing. Very easy. Everybody can do it. That's the beauty of social media. Man, I'm going to get up here and I'm going to make people. No, go do it. That's what
she just said
now.
She was going to do it.
Everybody can say they're going to do it.
I mean, I guess ultimately, I could.
Everybody can say they're going to do anything.
Ultimately, I guess I would say that I do not care about a national anthem performance at a home run derby or really anywhere, to be honest.
Well, I don't either. What do you mean care about it? So anybody can just go out there and make a mockery of it?
I think
it needs to be sung well. It's our national anthem.
Right.
If you're entrusted to sing it.
But it doesn't really need to be sung anywhere.
You should. So that's not the debate. If you're going to sing the Star Spangled Banner in front of a crowd at a national sporting event like the Home Run Derby, you owe it to Major League Baseball, the fans in attendance, the players, and the country, just do your very best. If her very best is not very good, okay. But if you're going to go get drunk and sing the national anthem, shame on you.
Okay, shame on her then.
I mean, I don't know why that's up for debate.
I don't know. I just don't feel like shaming her for that. That doesn't do anything for me.
I don't care if it does anything for you. Shaming somebody over a national
anthem performance, that doesn't make me feel better. What's the point?
I'm not looking to feel better.
And what am I looking to do?
I'm saying that we deserve better than that. We don't need that. We don't need that kind of stress in our lives. We've got enough.
The national anthem
needs to be sung to the best of your ability. It's our national song. It's our national anthem. It means something to a lot of people. And you can have the debate about, well, we don't need the national anthem before sporting events. Okay, whatever, but that'll never happen. That's never going away. There's a lot of things to debate that have true merit in the argument. That's not one of them.
Well, there's nothing that comes of, hey, shame on you. I don't know her. She doesn't know me. She doesn't care about my feelings. Before yesterday, I didn't care about anything that she ever did.
Good.
So,
then good for you.
What do you mean good for me?
I don't have your level of detachment. I think it was too bad.
You have is wanting to shame another person.
No, I'm not shaming her.
You said shame on you.
Don't get drunk before you sing the
national
anthem.
So what does shame on you mean if not shaming?
All right, time for a break. When we come back, we're going to catch up with Colin Mockrey from... Whose Line Is It Anyway? He is a national improvisational comedian. He's coming to the Orpheum Theater with Brad Sherwood on August the 18th. That's a Sunday evening, and that show is going to do very well. We're happy to be joined shortly by Colin Mockrey. Stay with us.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
KFH. Here's Colin Mockery, who joins us, longtime comedian and improvisationalist. He'll be in Wichita again on August the 18th. Colin, it's our pleasure. Hello, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
You bet. So we were just talking about the art of improvisational comedy. Neither of us really have any clue how you're able to do this, as well as you've done it for many years, along with your partner now, Brad Sherwood, and your show, Whose Line Is It Anyway? How did that become a part of your fabric, your personal fabric of comedy?
Oh, good question. I was a very quiet young man growing up, but I always loved comedy, the old silent guys to the golden age of television, anyone that made me laugh. And so when I went into theater school, I saw this demonstration of this thing called improv. And I thought, oh, that looks like it'd be fun. So it was just something for me. There was a theater in Vancouver where they would have improv matches every weekend. So it just became a thing where I thought, well, this is going to be just a fun thing to do. Never thinking, oh, this is going to be my career.
So, yeah, I was going to ask you about your childhood. You know, you were born in Scotland, but you grew up mostly in Canada, kind of moved around Canada a little bit. Was there a need for a sense of belonging? Is that kind of maybe why you got into acting and theater? Or was it, like you said, you just always loved comedy and maybe you would have been on that path anyway?
My plan was to become a marine biologist. So I was in sciences up until, I think, the second to last year of high school. And because I was so shy, a friend of mine dared me to try out for the school play. which I got. And then I got my first laugh, and that was pretty much the end of all sciences. I thought, nope, this is what I want now forever. So immediately switched to drama, and then did the slow build to lower stardom.
Talking with Colin Mochrie, he will be in Wichita at the Orpheum Theater with Brad Sherwood on August the 18th. So you mentioned, Colin, that you were a quiet kid, but you like comedy. So only you know what was working inside of your mind during all those quiet moments. Were you funny to yourself? Did you know that you had a funny brain, so to speak?
Oh, you're making me think too much. I think so. I thought, I was funny with my small group of friends, but I never had any thought of having that translate to a bigger audience. And it was really, I think, through hit and miss, just learning what made me laugh and what I thought was funny, and then sort of working it towards a larger audience. I've always been very lucky in that I've worked with great people. So, you know, I would pick their brains. Also, everyone I ever laughed at on television, I would watch them, try to figure out what it was about them that made me laugh and what I could use or steal and put it through my own viewpoint.
So what has been, from your perspective, kind of the evolution of the art of improv? I know it was really put on the map with Whose Line Is It Anyway, and you and Wayne and Ryan and Drew and the other people who participated in that show. So what did you feel like kind of was your role in the evolution of it, and what from kind of the outside looking in, maybe has the evolution been for you?
I think the part of being the show, it just gave improv an identity. Whenever anyone would talk about improv, they would go, you know, like that show, Whose Line Is It Anyway? And because of that, it sort of got improv into the public consciousness. And it had been around for a while, but it was mostly used in acting schools as sort of a tool to delve into your character. You would do little improvs to a day in your life or your character or something like that. Or Second City always used it to come up with scenes for their sketch show. But Whose Line was sort of the first show where it was just pure improv for entertainment's sake. And then it sort of burst from there. Colleges and high schools started improv clubs. I mean, it's a very, in one way, it's a very cheap hobby. All you need is an audience and people to work with, and you can pretty much do it anywhere. And since that time, it's just evolved into, you know, there's Dungeons and Dragons improvs where you go on a quest through this incredible journey. There's people are finding different ways to use improv in an entertaining way.
Talking with Colin Mochrie at the Orpheum Theater. He will be with Brad Sherwood on the 18th of August. So I'm going to throw this out at you and see if it takes. I also grew up in your era. I'm a couple years older than you are. I watched a lot of TV comedians. I especially was tuned in to Johnny Carson and his show. And my favorite comedian of all time is Don Rickles, who I regarded as somewhat of an improv comedian, especially on that show. Does he fit? Did you study him at all? Is that one of your guys?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Don Rickles was someone that we all, and of course, nowadays it'd be, I think, very hard for him to get a career going. But at that point, I don't think he had an act. He just went out and riffed off the audience to a great success. He also had, somehow he was able to insult an entire audience without them feeling bad about it, which is a really rare skill. So I would watch him just to, because I never felt easy when I was in Second City talking to audiences. There would be times where, you know, you'd have to stall while people were getting ready for a scene. So I would watch him and try to figure out how it was, how he could be so relaxed in front of an audience with seemingly nothing. And that really helped me studying him.
What has it been like for you
as an entertainer to be synonymous with another entertainer, and I think that would be Ryan Stiles. You kind of grew up in the industry together, obviously, on Whose Line. You partnered in so many hilarious sketches and acts and things like that. So, you know, what has that been like for you to have that personal and professional relationship with him?
I'm just happy I managed to get him a career, because the poor guy was floundering. He had nothing. He didn't know what to do. I mean, I was very fortunate. We were very fortunate we came together early in our careers. I mean, we basically grew up together. He started off doing stand-up. I was with an improv troupe when we kind of met. And it was just one of those magical moments. It was just, we immediately hit it off. We immediately hit it off on stage and off stage. And what I loved about Ryan was he got as much pleasure setting you up for a joke and you doing the joke as he did getting the joke himself, which is very rare for comedians. So again, I learned a lot from him on how to be selfless on stage and how to work with a group and how to set up other people. We're all part of the same thing, and it's just as important to set up a joke as it is to take the punchline.
I think a part of it, too, is that I don't take this the wrong way, because it's certainly not meant to be that, but you both kind of look like comedians, so I kind of start laughing the minute I look at you. I think you're funny. Is that an insult, by the way? Did I just that's
no,
certainly
I don't
not
think,
meant
I
to
mean,
be one.
Ryan looks like Don Martin, who used to write for Mad Magazine. He looks like one of his creations. You know, the tall kind of gawky guy. And I guess I also have a kind of a comedic face. So we kind of, that also sort of helped. And, you know, we were big fans of people like, you know, Harvey Korman and Tim Conway and all the greats throughout the years. So I'm absolutely fine with that. It gave us both a career. We're happy.
Jeff asked you about Ryan Stiles, of course. I want to ask you about Brad Sherwood, because you've been touring with him for a long time. Just the chemistry that has to be there when you do what you two guys are doing, and you've been on the road together, and just talk about that kinship and chemistry and how it comes about, and is it easy to preserve that?
Yeah, I think we were friends before we started working together, so that helps. Also, we're different touring people. He is obsessed with details. He is, you know, things I would never think about. That's the, he focuses on that and takes care of it to make our tour better. Where I truly don't care. I'm basically there to make sure he doesn't have a stroke. That's my contribution to our tour. And, you know, I think we've been touring for 22 years. We've never had a disagreement. We both have the same, I think, sort of, philosophy about improv. We're constantly coming up with new ways of getting us outside of our comfort zone, because we find that's when the most fun for us and the most fun for the audience is when we put ourselves in almost impossible situations. So it really helps when you both have the same sort of view as to where you want the show to do.
I, you know, watched Whose Line Is It Anyway with Drew, and then during the pandemic and after, rediscovered the show with Aisha Tyler. Still hilarious. Had a lot of huge laughs with my family. I think you maybe get your biggest laughs when you name the television shows or documentaries or whatever that interrupt the, or that are, you know what I'm talking about with the music before Wayne. How do you come up with the names of those programs?
I just have a big backlog. I think from my years at Second City, we would often do parodies of shows. And there's things in there that just it take me by surprise when they come out of my mouth. It's like, oh, okay. sometimes I can plan them. Sometimes I go, yeah, I should come up with something here. So I'm constantly going through the Rolodex of what's the popular show right now that I can make fun of, or the popular movie that I can make a pun out of their name. So it's part of the only homework you do as an improviser is just keeping up with what's going on in the world, so you can you'd be able to deal with anything that the audience gives you.
Colin Mochrie, our final moments here. He will be at the Orpheum with his improv partner Brad Sherwood coming up on Sunday, August the 18th. I want to ask you about the Drew Carey Show. You were a guest on that show a handful of times. I still kind of associate this whole group together. Talk about the appeal of that show, because here we are so many years later, and I think anybody who watched that show loved it, looks back longingly. Why did that show work as well as it did?
It was a lot of luck, I think. When I think of Whose Line and how they could have pitched it, it makes no sense that it actually made it on air. We were really lucky that Drew was involved, because at that point, Drew was he was ABC. So he was a big fan of the British version, and when they wanted to do an American version of it, and to a television executive, if you walk into the office, go, I have a show. There's four people who you don't know. They don't have a show until people yell things at them, and then they make stuff up. I can't understand why they went, yeah, okay, we'll do that. But the belief in Drew really helped that show happen. And I think it was a really strong group of improvisers, and everybody had a distinct personality. And we all have, from that show, our fan clubs, people who are rabid about what we do and follow us in every avenue of show business. So we really lucked out with the cast. It was at a point where there was nothing like it on television. A lot of sitcoms, I felt, were starting to get stale, where you could sort of go along with them, and you could almost come up with a punchline before the characters on the show did. And Whose Line was fresh in that you never knew where a punchline was coming. Nobody knew where a setup was. It was just weird and wacky.
Well, Colin, we really appreciate it. I guess I should ask you, since we kind of base our show on sports, being a Toronto person, are you into the Blue Jays, Raptors, Argonauts, Maple Leafs, any of that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a hockey guy, so, I have years of misery with the Maple Leafs. it's all part of our thing. Maybe next year. And the Blue Jays are kind of tanking this year. The Raptors had a bad year. We're due something to break. I don't know what our women's hockey team did very well until the playoffs. Then they followed what the guys did. But I think there's a foundation there, hopefully. One day in my lifetime, I'd like to see us win something.
Well, sorry to bring you down with that last question, but we certainly appreciate your time. We look forward to your appearance here at the Orpheum Theater with your buddy Brad Sherwood on the 18th of August. Colin, thanks so much. It's been a pleasure for us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on.
Here's Caden Favors out of Carl Albert High School, Midwest City, Oklahoma.
I'm good. How are you?
We're good. We're not as good as you are. Neither of us was ever drafted in the sixth round of the Major League Baseball draft. Certainly that had to be a tremendous high point for you. Tell us where you were and what you were doing when you heard about this.
Yeah, I was out in Norman at my sister's house, and we had a bunch of family there, and my girlfriend was there, and we, just waited for a phone call, and thankfully it wasn't, late in the day. It was early in the day, so we got a full day of celebrating in, and it's everything you dream about.
When did it start to kind of feel realistic for you, not just leading up to the draft, but in your life? When professional baseball seemed like an attainable goal? Because, you weren't terribly highly recruited. Obviously, I think you were a walk-on. You obviously improved your stock tremendously over the last few years. When did professional baseball start to feel realistic for you?
Yeah, every kid dreams about it. I got lucky enough to go play junior college baseball. And as soon as I stepped on campus at my junior college, my skills started to tick up a little bit, and then I started to get some scout interest, and, it's still a far dream. And I had a rough freshman year, and then I just wanted to get out of there and prove to myself that I could play Division I baseball. And thankfully, I was still talking to Coach Pelfrey at the time, and he said, we got a walk-on spot for you. And I was like, that's all I need is an opportunity. And so I walked on there, and the spring rolled around, and I proved myself. And then I really started to get interest, and just it kind of continued to build from there. So if I had to say there was a point of realizing that, oh man, I can go play pro, had to have been that, sophomore spring. I was dominant, and I was like, oh man, like there, you know, it's only up from here.
Talking with Caden Favors out of Carl Albert High School, Midwest City, Oklahoma, the ace of the Shockers staff this past season, 9-4 with a 3.21 earned run average, and pitched a bunch of innings, 106.2 innings. So when did you start to realize, Caden, that you were coming into your own as a pitcher, that things were starting to click, that all the coaching and conditioning and all that stuff, you're 6'3", 205, so you have good size, that it was coming together for you?
Yeah, I mean, this year I felt the most comfortable in my, body and mechanics, and I learned that, my stuff is better than what I've been, not told it was, but I haven't used it in the right way, and Coach Claggett helped me figure that out, and, I talk to Pelfrey still some too, so he helps me on the mental side of the game with, him playing in the big leagues for so long. It's just, I had a great support system around me, and they just, led me down the right road.
How much were the Guardians on you this spring? Did you have conversations, I assume mostly probably with scouts, but closer to the draft, did you talk to any of the front office guys? And what have been kind of your early impressions of that organization?
That's a loaded question. Before you answer it, the person who just asked you that question is a devout Cleveland Guardians fan. So there's a little bit of a loaded nature to the question, but go ahead and answer it.
I let my advisor handle all that. And, he did most of the talking to teams for me, just kind of let me focus on baseball. But I do know that, they were pretty high on me, and I'm stoked to be a Cleveland Guardian, honestly. I've been to Progressive Field. Me and my dad took a trip up there a couple years ago and got to catch a game. And, I love the fans and love the city of Cleveland. So I'm excited.
Well, we welcome you with open arms, Caden.
Admit it, you wish the Cardinals had picked you. No, I'm kidding. We're happy for you to go to any team, and I'm sure that you've studied up on the Guardians in the day since you were drafted yesterday, and it's an awesome deal. So you grew up in Oklahoma. You're a baseball guy through and through. Who was your team growing up, Caden?
My dad wasn't much of a sports guy. So I kind of grew up watching anything that was on ESPN, and around that time the Yankees and Red Sox were really good. So I grew up a Yankees fan, but at this point I'm happy to be a Guardian, honestly.
And to build off that question, you obviously got to play for Brian Green just 1 year, and Anthony Claggett, you mentioned him, the pitching coach, again, just 1 year under him. What do you think the future of Shocker baseball is headed under their leadership?
Honestly, I think it's only up from here. I mean, I know you can say, you can talk all you want, but, they've proved that they are going to be here for a long time. And, I mean, I've been around a lot of coaching staffs, and, I love Pelfrey and them, and I think they're great. And I think Coach Green and Coach Claggett and all them, they're the right guys for the job. And I honestly see Wichita State either in a regional next year or the year after that.
Was there any apprehension for you? I mean, if you there was a new coaching staff, so if you had left, you would have had a new coaching staff. Obviously, you stayed, there was a new coaching staff. And knowing what was at stake for you, were you at all apprehensive about a new voice coming in, and you were you worried about maybe him changing you at all? And obviously that didn't happen, so how did that kind of relationship evolve with Anthony?
It's no matter where I go, there's always going to be voices in my ear, and he has the experience, and I think he's a great coach. It's just kind of buying into what's being told to you. And thankfully, me and him got along enough to where he realized that, you know, I'm going to be a professional athlete within the next coming year. So he treated me like a pro, where it was like we could have the, you know, man-to-man conversations of, hey, like, I think you'll succeed by doing this. Let's try this. And I was like, sounds good.
Caden Favors, our guest, chosen in the sixth round yesterday by the Cleveland Guardians. Of course, had a stellar career at Wichita State. These teams will start to sign these draftees here in the near future. But with your workload this past year, Caden, what are you expecting? Are you expecting to go maybe to their spring training complex instead of getting an assignment to a team? How does that? What do you expect?
You know, I'm not too sure how it works. I do know that I'll be ready for whatever's asked of me, whether I need to stay there and train and they want to work at the spring training facility, or if I need to go hit the ground running and go make an impact and, you know, single A or double A, I'll do whatever's asked of me.
So I think, you know, Paul Skeens and maybe some others, but really Paul Skeens has brought the mustache back into style for pitchers. You got a little one going, I think, last year. Little one. It's not Skeens like, but it maybe could be someday. Is that still kind of the look?
Yeah. Anything you can get up there to intimidate somebody, you know, if you can get in a little bit of intimidation going, you've already won. So, I mean, I do the mustache, you know, as an intimidation thing. Everyone else thinks it's a little funny, but I like it, so I'm going to stick with it.
I love it.
It was a moment last night talking about former Shockers when Alec Bohm performed very well in the home run derby. I imagine that that caught your interest a little bit, because the trickling effect of former Shockers who are making an impact in Major League Baseball has slowed down a little bit. I know you'd like to be one who makes that impact. Did you watch Alec Bohm? Have you ever met him? Has he ever come back through Shockerland?
I haven't met him personally. I know a few of the guys that played with him. My first year there, they were fifth year seniors, and they've, you know, only said great things about him. And, you know, I'd love to run into him one day and kind of catch up and see what funny stories he has for me. But I mean, I'd love to start the trend of Shockers being, you know, in the big leagues again. I know Brock is tearing it up, and you know, hopefully I'll see him
too.
Yeah, and Luke Ritter. I'm hoping we can start something to bring Wichita State back to what it used to be. This is a great program, and I know we have the right cusp for it. Yeah.
Well, we look forward to following your progress. Certainly, my son, Jeff, will be a big fan. So best of luck, Caden. Thanks for coming on the show.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Thanks.
Caden Favors, the newest member. Close, he'll sign, of the Cleveland Guardians.
Of course he will. Wonder what how the Guardians are going to spread around the money.
I don't care.
Because they took three really high-ceiling high school pitchers yesterday and are going to have to pay them.
No, you figure it out. You'll figure it out. That's all I can tell you.
I won't figure it out, but somebody hopefully will.
Somebody will get it under control. Oh, I'm very excited about the 16th round pick for the Cardinals, Daniel Ortiz out of Walter State Community College in Tennessee.
You never know.
You never know.
Might be a Hall of Famer someday.
I hope so. You never know. You're right. We've got a game coming up, hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH, back in a minute.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
I'm Dr. Hrini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Banner civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.